You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the When It Was Cool Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Carl Stern. Thank you very much for joining me here today in our rotation of classic wrestling shows. We are back around to the GKT, the greatest kayfabe tournament. It is a tournament where you, the listener, vote and come up with the winners of the match. Now, we have been historically doing this voting on Twitter. Now, Twitter has become a cesspool of nonsense, and because it's basically nothing now other than pornography and political extremism, we've pulled off of Twitter. When It Was Cool, Carl Stern is no longer on Twitter. If you were to see some representation of me or my website on Twitter, you will know it is an imposter. That is not us. We are no longer there. So how we're going to do this voting going forward, I'm not entirely sure. I've got a couple ideas, one of which is to put it on the board at F4W, figure4online.com, wrestlingobserver.com. But I understand that we'll leave a portion of our audience out, the When It Was Cool audience that is not subscribed to the Observer. So how will we count those votes? Well, I will likely put a poll also on our Patreon page, but leave it open to the public, meaning anybody, whether they're a Patreon supporter or not, can vote there. That will also get allow our Patreons to vote that are not there at Wrestling Observer. So I think that's fair. That will, again, allow everyone a vote. Of course, we hope you will support us on Patreon by becoming a Patreon voter. So look for it as about a month or so from now when we do our next match in the GKT. We will likely do it that way. As a matter of fact, let me real quickly grab the main. We haven't gone over the main bracketing in a while, so let's do that. Should have had that ready, but just now thought of it. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Kurt Angle versus Mankind, or if you would, Cactus Jack, or if you would, Mick Foley, or if you would, Dude Love, whatever the case may be. The GKT, the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament, is a fictional tournament where we ask the question, if wrestling were real. Now, not a shoot, not like UFC or MMA, but the characters as presented on TV were real. The Undertaker and Kane and people like that had some degree of supernatural powers, things you saw them do on TV. Kurt Angle was the way. Obviously, some of the people that have been portrayed as the toughest people in professional wrestling aren't necessarily the toughest people in real life. CM Punk, for example. Very pushed wrestler, multi-time world champion. Can't fight his way out of a paper bag in real fighting. We've seen this play out. Others make the transition, very equitably. Brock Lesnar, for example, UFC heavyweight champion, did very well there. And has done very well in professional wrestling. So here is a case of that. Obviously, if you put Mick Foley in an Olympic wrestling match, if you put him in a MMA fight against Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, it's going to be pretty one-sided. But Mick Foley had a great wrestling career. As Cactus Jack, he was, king of the hardcore wrestlers, the most dangerous, most, intense matches ever held back in the 1990s. A lot of people called it garbage wrestling. I've even called it garbage wrestling at the time. It's kind of the way insiders referred to it. But that extreme hardcore deathmatch type stuff. I mean, Cactus Jack was the king of that. He was tough. He was, he was a guy who, yes, could be hurt. Yes, could be injured. But through all that pain, through all that stuff he fought for. He had a great heart. He was sadistic. And, I mean, that's a great character. It's a great character for pro wrestling. And a character like that stands a chance against an Olympic gold medalist like Kurt Angle. So that's what this tournament's all about. A way of reminding us why we became fans of wrestling to begin with. It's so easy to become cynical as you grow older as a wrestling fan. We've all done it. I've done it. I readily admit I do not care one bit about today's modern product. That's not because it's worse than ever, not because whatever. But it's not what I grew up on as professional wrestling. It's not what professional wrestling was to me. It's way too entertainment-oriented, way too... I call it video game wrestling a lot, and I don't mean that as a negative. I love video games. Man, I love video game fighting back in the day. Gosh, man, I was a champ on Double Dragon and Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, and I love that stuff. And to have that, you know, played out in real life now with a lot of these wrestlers who do very dynamic type moves and stuff, that's great. And look, I don't have to have realism in my wrestling. I grew up on characters like Lord Humongous and, you know, periodically Jerry Lawler bring, you know, some Frankenstein or something into Memphis. I'm fine with that. But today's wrestling is really, really, really choreographed, and it just doesn't have the emotional drama that I grew up with. You know, you take a guy like, I don't know, Bill Dundee or some of the people I grew up watching in Memphis, even like a Jimmy Golden or somebody like that, and you look at them, gosh, like to me, the epitome of this is Jackie Fargo. You look at Jackie Fargo and you just think, oh, come on now. You know, that guy, he don't look like no tough guy to me. But in the story, in the world of wrestling, in Memphis, he was. Because you told stories, and it was very interesting. Now, you know, a lot of people are very positive on the Bloodline storyline that's been going on in WWE for a while, and it's good. I'm glad to hear there is something that is telling a story there long-term, making you care about some of these characters and stuff. But it's very different, and I'm not critical of it. I'm just saying we don't all have to like, you know, vanilla ice cream. You can like chocolate. You can like strawberry. You can like whatever you like. We don't all have to like the same, and that doesn't make you wrong and me right. It just means our tastes are different. And so I like the old school, more storytelling type stuff. But we've had a good mix of all these in our tournament so far. So let's see where we're at before we talk about what happened here with Kurt Angle and Mankind. You, the listener, have voted, and we have our results in. I was actually surprised. For some reason, my memory, I can remember everything that happened in, like, you know, between 1982 and 1989, you know, I got it. I'm on there. I can remember, you know, I know who fought who and I know who did what. And even in the early 1990s, like, I was still a big fan during that time. I remember most of that really well. When it comes to the Monday Night War era, I not only watched that, I was heavily invested in it. I run a wrestling promotion during that time. I used some of the people that were on TV, like, I was really as deep in the mix, especially behind the scenes. I was writing a newsletter and all that as well. But, man, when you get up to close to the year 2000, my memory is just terrible. I guess I started checking out, not as being as heavily invested. So, to me, I thought, well, Kurt Angle and Mankind, they've probably fought 100 times. They've probably wrestled each other many times. I could go to one of the online search engines and look up how many times these two fought, and we'll know. We'll know who won this match, and accordingly. Weirdly enough, they haven't met that many times. I mean, and never, really only, I guess, twice in WWE were they together, I guess. I mean, I've searched up. This doesn't seem right to me. I'm like, I've got to be overlooking something. I searched Mankind versus Kurt Angle. I searched Cactus Jack versus Kurt Angle. I've searched Mick Foley versus Kurt Dude Love. And I've come up with 17 matches, and not all of them are against each other, most of which are TNA, which makes sense. They were there together. So, for some reason, I was thinking they were contemporaries in WWE, and then the more I got to thinking about it, I thought less so. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's run down our where we're at in our bracketing so far. And let me grab a pen and write in this one real quick. No spoilers just yet. Okay, because we're only one match away from finishing round two. All right, so what we have, we started off with 64 wrestlers, and we're now your round three matchups, all except for one, are set. So your round three matchups are going to be Mitsuharu Misawa against Chris Jericho, my good close personal friend Chris Jericho, upon whose podcast I once made an appearance talking about the death of the very famous pop singer Prince. Yes, check out Talk is Jericho. Seek out the Carl Stern appearance on there. It was a fun time. So Mitsuharu Misawa against Chris Jericho. Brock Lesnar, speaking of, against Andre the Giant. Wow, that's going to be a very interesting. I just recently read Pat LaPrade's book on Andre the Giant. Yeah, it just took me a while to get to it, but I read it. What a great book. I recently reviewed it over at winatschool.com. If you're one of our Patreon supporters over there, listen to that book review, because that is a great, great book if you haven't read it. And Brock Lesnar against Andre the Giant, that book, that match for with both these guys in their prime, and you just let your imagination go, wow, that would be a great match. Kenny Omega against Keiji Mudo. I mean, my God, that's an awesome match too coming up. I could think of all, as a booker, you get to have all kinds of fun with these matches. That sounds great. Terry Funk against Bret Hart. My God, Terry Funk against Bret Hart. That's wow. Bruiser Brody against Hiroshi Tanahashi. Antonio Inoki against Stone Cold Steve Austin. Imagine that. Imagine those two in their prime. You get to book that match. The Rock against Sting. And now we're down to our final two matches in this round, and we're about to talk about this one. Your winner of this match is voted by you, the listener, Kurt Angle, 76% to 23%. So I won't call this a squash, but it was a decisive, undisputed victory of Kurt Angle over Mankind or Cactus Jack or whatever, Dude Love, I guess, if you so desire. I think this would be obviously a really great match. These are two tremendous entertainers. I also agree that Kurt Angle would probably have been my choice to win. I can't vote in these polls. So I would have probably voted for Kurt Angle had I voted. Although I liked Cactus Jack. I saw Cactus Jack really from the beginning of his career all the way through. I saw the entire career of Cactus Jack when he first came onto the scene. He come through Continental for a little while. He was, of course, out in USWA and in Memphis early on in his career. I saw all that. Saw his great match against Ron Starr down in Continental. I saw his entire career. Really, I saw all of Kurt Angle's career too. So I guess neither one of those physically able to do any more wrestling. So I saw him from beginning to end. Both great, both fantastic. If I just had my choice, if you just made me choose a favorite between the two, I would say probably Cactus Jack, but barely, just barely, because I really liked Kurt Angle. I thought Kurt Angle was super entertaining. He get a little silly sometimes. Like I wasn't so huge a fan of the ha-ha stuff he did. Although he was good at it, mind you, and that's what wrestling was at the time, but that not my favorite thing. You give me Cactus Jack and Terry Funk, just beating each other to death with barbed wire and stuff over in Japan. Now that's more to my liking. That's more to my taste. But whatever. Okay, so looking at the 17 times I can find that these two had some degree of interaction, we go all the way back to the year 2000, September 24th, 2000, a no disqualification match. Triple H beat Kurt Angle, but your special referee in the match was Mick Foley. And that happened in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So nobody gets the win in that one. Just Mick Foley was a referee. They were, however, together in the 2004 Royal Rumble, January 25th, 2004, the Philadelphia, again, Royal Rumble. That was the one that he whose name shall ne'er be spoken won, defeated people in that Royal Rumble were Billy Gunn, Booker T, Bradshaw, Charlie Haas. There's a guy that don't get talked about enough. Chris Jericho, Christian, Ernest Miller, yes, the cat, Ernest Miller, Goldberg, John Cena, Kane, Kurt Angle, so there's Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, Matt Hardy, Matt Morgan, wow, who remembers Matt Morgan, Mick Foley, yes, Nunzio, Randy Orton, Rene Dupree, Rhino, Rico, Rikishi, Rob Van Dam, there's your R section, Scott Steiner, yes, believe it or not, Shelton Benjamin, boy, there's a guy that, man, should have accomplished so much more in wrestling. Spike Dudley, Tajiri, A-Train, Big Show, and The Hurricane. So neither one got the win in that match. So they're still 0-0. The next year, the following year, in October of 2005 in Fresno, California, Monday Night Raw, Mick Foley is the referee again for Kurt Angle beating John Cena. So again, they don't actually wrestle. We go to TNA a few years later, October of 2008. Jeff Jarrett beats Kurt Angle with the special enforcer, Mick Foley. Then we're going to do that again in a couple more months. Kurt Angle beats Rhino, special enforcer Mick Foley. We're going to do it yet again in January of 2009. Jeff Jarrett beats Kurt Angle with special referee Mick Foley. So we're still 0-0 in this series. And I think that's just incredibly interesting. March 2009, Sting, as the TNA World Champion, beats Kurt Angle. One of the special referees or the special enforcer in the match, Mick Foley. So they're still 0-0. Now, we finally get our first match between the two of them all the way up in 2009. And let's just admit that both are past their prime at this point. So they never got to wrestle in their prime or whatever. So they meet up, but it's in a tag team match. March the 16th of 2009, Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley beat Kurt Angle and Sting there at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida on Impact. So Mick Foley won, Kurt Angle 0, although it's a tag team match, so I guess you would say a 0.5 or 1/2 to 0. TNA, May of 2009, the main event Mafia, Booker T, Kevin Nash, Kurt Angle, Scott Steiner, and Sting beat the team of AJ Styles, Chris Daniels, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, and Samoa Joe. So here we got 5-on-5. And we get Kurt Angle with the win here. So I guess he gets 1/5 of a point. So I guess Mick Foley's still ahead by, I'm bad at fractions, but still ahead by what, let's do Scott Steiner math here, 133%, I guess, at this point. Match 8 here, TNA World Title, 4-Way Ultimate Sacrifice. Sting beats Mick Foley, Jeff Jarrett, and Kurt Angle in a 4-Way match there in Orlando. May of 2009, a 3-Way match. AJ Styles and Samoa Joe beat Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kurt Angle, and Sting. So see, they're all over the place. They're either in the matches they're in, they're these multi-people matches that they neither one wins or something like. We still don't have a singles match between them. I guess slightly, just if you discount for numbers, Mick Foley's still just a fraction ahead of Kurt Angle. And somebody's going to write in, by the way, and tell me what fraction that is. And I don't care. I'll just go ahead and tell you. So, okay, June of 2009, TNA World Heavyweight Title King of the Mountain match. So this, again, is another multi-man match. Now, Kurt Angle wins this one. He beats AJ Styles, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, and Samoa Joe to win the TNA title at Slammiversary 2009. So even though it's a four-man, multi-man match, we're going to put Kurt Angle ahead right now because he's got the TNA World Championship out of this. And this is more one-on-one than these tag team matches. So I don't even know how you would split a percentage of that so far, but we'll say by just a fraction is Kurt Angle ahead of Mick Foley at this point. Okay, June of 2009, in a 3-way match, Kurt Angle beats Jeff Jarrett and Mick Foley. So now, clearly, Kurt Angle's ahead. He's I would say at least all things considered, he's one match ahead on Mick Foley. We'll call it at this point 1-0, Kurt Angle. TNA World, now here we finally get our singles match. July 19th of 2009, Victory Road 2009, TNA World Champion Kurt Angle beats Mick Foley in 14 minutes and 5 seconds in Orlando, Florida. So now he's clearly up 2 to 0, or 2 to a percentage. Also in July, the next day, as a matter of fact, July 2009 on Impact, office keys on a pole match. Yeah, you know, imagine who's booking this. Kurt Angle versus Mick Foley goes to a no contest. I guess the keys fell off the pole or a crow fell down and got them or who knows. A guitar fell out of the sky and hit both of them on the head. Who even knows? But anyway, it went to a no contest, so nobody gets an advantage there. July 21st, 2009, TNA World Title, TNA Legends Title match. So this is a multi-person singles match. Bobby Lashley and Mick Foley together somehow in this singles match defeat Kevin Nash and Kurt Angle. Somebody, you know, imagine, I wonder who's booking TNA at this point in time. Maybe the pole one. I don't know. So Mick Foley gets one up on that. And then finally, the last result I got from him, I'm using cagematch.net, is October 7th of 2009, Abyss and Matt Morgan beat the team of Kurt Angle and Mick Foley. So again, they're not even against each other here. So in the totality of Kurt Angle versus Mick Foley matches, you've got Kurt Angle about, we'll say, 2-1 over Mick Foley. But nevertheless, real life versus this fictional tournament, Kurt Angle wins out either way. I think Cactus Jack should have been stronger in this poll. We had almost 300 people voting in it, so that's a pretty decent little sample size. So we'll consider that a victory for Kurt Angle, and he will advance in this tournament. Now, we don't have an opponent for them yet for round three, because we still have one more match left in round two. And again, I'll let you know where you can vote on that. You can vote on the board at F4W.com, WrestlingObserver.com. If you're a member over there and have access to the board, you can vote there. Or you can vote also, go to WhenItWasCool.com and hit our Patreon button. And when I put the poll up, it will be open. You can, whether you're a Patreon supporter or not, you can vote. Of course, all of our Patreons will be able to vote as well. We hope, since you're there and already poking around our Patreon page, maybe join up for a month. We have I just crossed 2,100 shows in our archive. And all these are evergreen shows. I mean, they review pro wrestling history, pro wrestling personalities, biographies, but also retro pop culture. We do old movies. We do old TV shows. We do old sports. We do all that stuff. You just go to the front page of whenitwascool.com and just look at what all we've offered in the last month or so. I mean, there's lots of free stuff there, so check that out for sure. But we really could use your support. There's some things we need to do this month. This is the year I have to renew our trademark on the name When It Was Cool, so I have to refile that, and so I'll need some help getting that refiled. And as a Patreon supporter, you'll help do that. As a Patreon supporter, you get to suggest shows, and like I said, you get access to over 2,000 podcasts. So if you just come on for a month, just get to downloading some stuff. Maybe all your favorites from the past are there. All kinds of interesting. So we review wrestling magazines and all that stuff. So check us out, and that's where I'll put the poll up for what will be our next match, which is a very, very weird match. In the first round, we had Jim Lundos from way back in the day. Many suggest he is the most popular wrestler of all time in history based on number of people drawn. He is certainly, if not number one, he is easily top three. He faced the legend of all legends of Japanese pro wrestling. No, not Antonio Inoki. No, not Giant Baba, but Ricky Dozan. And Ricky Dozan beat him and advanced to round two. Also in round one, we had maybe the greatest professional wrestler ever. Now, it was a different time and a different era, but he was the unbeaten world champion. Nobody ever beat him for the world championship. Frank Gotch against one of the, you know, all-time greatest gimmick wrestlers ever, Undertaker. I mean, what a weird match that is. I don't even know how you book that, but you, the listener, did, and you chose Undertaker to win. So now, coming up on our next show, our next GKT, Greatest Kayfabe Tournament, we're going to get to choose between Ricky Dozan versus Undertaker. And that is a weirdly interesting match. If I'm booking that match, I don't even know. I don't even know what you do with that. Very, very straight. Is the myth and the legend, the mythology, the respect of Ricky Dozan, kind of like El Santo in a lot of ways. We have way more footage of El Santo. I guess we do. Now that I get to think about it, a lot of the footage we have of El Santo is actually from his movies, not necessarily from matches. Very limited of Ricky Dozan as well. You can go on YouTube. There is some footage of Ricky Dozan out there. I watched a movie about Ricky Dozan, a Japanese movie, and I forget the name of it, that was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And, like, Ricky Dozan cried throughout, like, the first half of it about everything. Like, it's in Japanese, so I had no idea what they were talking about, but you largely follow along. But it seemed like Ricky Dozan was crying through the entire thing. He ends up getting murdered. What a strange life and character was Ricky Dozan. Apparently, you know, booted out of sumo for various and sundry things. He would shoot on pro wrestlers. I mean, it's just, there really needs, I would love to see a good English biography of Ricky Dozan. Maybe I'm the one that needs to dive into that and do a podcast special at When It Was Cool on that. We have dozens of those that I've heavily researched and put out. Maybe it's time for Ricky Dozan, because I think he's fascinating. Undertaker, of course, has left a mixed legacy, a lot of it due to cultural changes and how people look at kind of the world he came from as this locker room leader, as this, you know, most revered person in the locker room, a locker room that was very degenerate and had a lot of problems, a lot of bullying, a lot of drug use. And so a lot of people have kind of retroactively taken a different look at The Undertaker. He hasn't really done himself any favors either after his retirement, but he's interesting. I mean, he was certainly one of the most dominant characters and a beloved character. I mean, and you look, you know, personal feelings about Mark Calaway aside, but whether you love him, hate him, or indifferent toward him, he left a lasting impression. He's one of the all-time great characters. And that's what this tournament's about. This tournament's not about star ratings. It's not about what the Observer or the Torch or any other insider publication said. It's about what we as fans started watching wrestling for. Watching a fictionalized fight between two characters. We become invested in one of those characters. I really like this Kurt Angle fellow. I really like this crazy Cactus Jack guy. I'm invested in what they're doing. I want to see them win. I want to see them become the best. I want to see them become world champion or headline WrestleMania or whatever the case may be. Dominate the independents. Be successful in Japan. Whatever your reading of measurement of success is, you want to see that happen for one of these folks. And I like to remember why we became wrestling fans. It wasn't to argue over 6 stars, 7 stars, 50 stars, super kicks, AEW versus WWE, Jim Cornette versus Dave Meltzer. It was, we watched it because it was a video game come to life. It was a comic book come to life. It was an action movie come to life, serialized weekly for us to follow along. I grew up in the era of Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee and Sylvester Stallone as Rambo and Rocky and all these great action movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, all this stuff, Conan the Barbarian. Got to see all that. Grew up on comic books. I learned to read on comic books. Yet here it was come to life. People in these colorful outfits, masks, doing extraordinary athletic things with names that just appealed to a young kid like Junkyard Dog, like Million Dollar Man, like Hulk Hogan, Mr. Olympia, whatever the case may be. That's what made me a fan, not whether two, you know, old-timers were arguing about this. Back in my day, Carl Gotch said, you're dancing too much. Frank Gotch said, there's too much head movement in these here youngsters like Joe Stecker. He moves his head too much. You know, that's not you know, it's just unnecessary. It's dumb, quite frankly. Let's have some fun. I understand the business needs to be covered, and the business of the business is extraordinary. You know, Dave Meltzer has made a huge career of exploring the reality behind the mythology, and that's great. Look, I've read the Observer since the 80s. Love it. Love it. But what made me a fan was not, you know, what WWF Superstars rating done in 1986. I hope they had a 94 share this week, or else I'm not going to like it. No, it wasn't anything like that at all. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, these British Bulldogs, they're awesome. Wonder who these guys were, where they come from. They're great. Demolition, this is a complete ripoff of the Road Warriors, but I kind of like them. They're just different enough to be cool, you know, that sort of thing. So that's what this tournament is. That's what this is to inspire, the GKT, the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament. Kurt Angle, congratulations, you advanced to the next round. You will face either Ricky Dozan or Undertaker, depending on who the listeners of this show vote for next go-around. Keep your eyes peeled. You need to be checking the board if you're at F4W. I'll post it there. And if you're a Patreon at When It Was Cool, you need to keep your eyes on the Patreon feed. I'll be posting it there. And if you are neither of those two things, I would encourage you to become one of those two things. Otherwise, keep an eye on the front page of whenitwascool.com, and I will post a link up when the poll is live and active, and you can go there and vote. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for joining me here, and I'll see you here again soon with a new show.
Look at me. I can barely stand. Ron Simmons, I came this close to capturing the championship of the world, but tonight you were a better man. My head's been hurt. My pancreas punished. I've never felt this bad in my life, but I've never been happier. You see, Simmons, I felt your heartbeat. Quickly, I felt your pulse race. You've got weaknesses, Ron. I couldn't overcome them, but I found a man who could. I called up Danny Spivey. I said, Dan, stay home. I've got a man on our side who knows Ron Simmons better than anyone. He's traveled with him. He's wrestled with him. He's the Barbarian's new tag team partner, and his name is Butch Reed.
Butch Reed. Hacksaw Butch Reed. So Reed's going to be in the tag team matchup.
Oh, you got it. You got it right.
All right, well, fans, let's go back up to Gary Capetta.
Hey, everybody. Carl here. I got a true story for you. The other day, I ran through the McDonald's drive-thru. Didn't have much lunch options, so I said, grab something here from McDonald's. So I grabbed just a standard meal there, one of their numbered meals, a double quarter pounder meal. I didn't upsize it or anything, just got it as it came. $10, $10 for this meal. And look, the fries were terrible. You know how sometimes you get McDonald's fries are awesome, and sometimes I've been sitting there a minute and not so good. Well, there I was. $10 spent on this utterly unremarkable to not very good meal. That is literally 2 months worth of Patreon support at When It Was Cool. And we have 2,000 podcasts for you to listen to. Listen, I want you to just do me a favor. If you're not a Patreon supporter at When It Was Cool, I want you to go there right now, whenitwascool.com, hit any of the Patreon buttons, give me 1 month. Come on in, 1 month, $5. And as soon as you get in, I want you to just start downloading shows. Start saving them to your device, saving them to your computer, listen to them later. I want you to, quote, steal as much content as you can. Because I think you're going to really like what you hear. I think you're going to love the variety. I think you're going to love the fun. And I think you're going to come back for more. You're going to say, hey, that was the best 5 months I've spent this month. Surely better than that $10 meal I got through the drive-thru. This is what I want to do. And hey, we appreciate it. That big fast food chain, they don't care one way or the other. I promise we care and we appreciate it. Check us out, whenitwascool.com.